Dear fellow Christians, in whom lives and dwells the Holy Spirit, grace and peace to you in the name of our Savior Jesus Christ, to whom the Spirit testifies and wants us to testify as well. Amen. Happy Thanksgiving. In November and Thanksgiving Day, we thank God for things like turkey and green bean casserole and pumpkin pie and all the blessings of the bountiful harvest that God gives us through our hardworking farmers and their families. And on Pentecost, we give thanks too, but especially we focus on the bountiful blessings of our God that he gives us that are spiritual blessing, and he pours out on us in our lives for today and guarantees us actually for all eternity. But really what we should be saying today is happy birthday, because Pentecost is considered by the New Testament church to be its birthday. This is the beginning of the New Testament church, Christ's church, as Christ's disciples began to carry out the Great Commission, to go and make disciples, to preach the good news to all creation. So in John chapter 15, he's telling his disciples then and telling his disciples here to do just that, to testify about him. We need the Holy Spirit to do that work. We need the Holy Spirit to reveal to us what it is that we should be testifying about and to give us the boldness that we need to carry out that work in the world in which we live. Somebody once said that the Holy Spirit is like a really good pair of contact lenses. You hardly notice that they're there, but you can really see well. And that's what the Holy Spirit is. He's so quiet and he works among us all the time. We don't even really notice the working of the Holy Spirit in our lives until we stop and take a day like this and think about it. But boy, does he make us see well. Through the law, he helps us see our sins. Through the gospel, he helps us see the Savior that we need from that sin, the one who would live for us perfectly and die for us as a sacrifice to take those sins away. Think of the day of Pentecost. We just read the account from Acts chapter 2. The Holy Spirit made people see. Peter and the other disciples were preaching the word of God, and boy, did they see Jesus too. They saw Jesus as their Savior, not just with their eyes, because Jesus wasn't there for them to see with their eyes, but to see in their hearts. In other words, to believe. They believed that Jesus was their Savior. 3,000 people came to faith that day. Jesus promised that the Spirit would come to his disciples. He said, "When the Counselor comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me." What an arrival the Holy Spirit made. The sound of a mighty rushing wind, the cloven tongues of fire, the ability of the disciples to be able to speak in the foreign languages of people who had gathered there. What a perfectly opportune time for that gift to come to them when it was the day of the festival of Pentecost and people came from nations all around to come and celebrate that festival in Jerusalem, and the disciples were able to speak to them in the languages that those people spoke living in those foreign countries. And then you can imagine that then they, those who became believers, would go back to their countries and bring that message to others. I wonder how many of our ancient relatives eventually became believers because of the ripple effect that came about from that very first Pentecost when the Word of God went out to the various areas of the world at that time. And what an encouragement this must have been for the disciples too. They had spent those 3 years with Jesus, and now he had ascended into heaven, and he had made this promise of the Holy Spirit, but they still seemed like they were lost and alone. And then the Holy Spirit came. I was reading about the great Norwegian explorer whose name is Roald Amundsen. He was the first to get to the South Pole, I believe, but he also made trips to the Arctic Circle as well, up north. And one trip, he took some homing pigeons along with him, and when he got to his certain destination, he released those homing pigeons, and you can imagine the relief that his wife would have felt in Norway when these homing pigeons came back to roost. You can almost hear her saying, "He's alive, everything is okay." And so the Holy Spirit came 10 days after Jesus ascended into heaven, and the disciples were re-encouraged by this, reassured to say, yeah, Jesus is with us. Jesus is by our sides, and he kept his promise to send his Holy Spirit. And Jesus said, the Spirit will testify about me. And yes, the Spirit did that. He testified that Jesus was with them. Today, the Holy Spirit doesn't come to us with tongues of fire and giving us the instant ability to speak in other languages. That would really be fun, though, wouldn't it? But he continues to come to us, perhaps in quieter ways, but in every bit as powerful ways. Every time you see a baptism taking place, you see a miracle of God, of the power of God, as the Holy Spirit brings a child to faith in the Lord Jesus by his power, a child that was separated by its sin, but now brought into oneness, into unity with God by the Holy Spirit. And Jesus even said that. He said, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit. When you take the Lord's Supper, there is a miracle that's taking place there too, as the Holy Spirit comes and strengthens our faith and gives us what we need to continue on and to do the work that Christ has given us to do. You know, this work is not flashy. It's not something you're going to see in a highlight film. But the Holy Spirit, just as Jesus promised, works continually and persistently and wonderfully in the hearts of Christians day in and day out. There wouldn't be no St. Paul's Lutheran Church. There would be no Wells. There would be no Christian church were it not for the Holy Spirit continuing to bring people to faith and to sustain us in that faith day by day as we live in a very dangerous and oppositional world. The people of Israel in the Old Testament had a pillar of fire at night and a pillar of cloud by day to lead them to the promised land. And you and I don't have pillars like that, but we have the Holy Spirit, who every day leads us through his word to the promised land. And every day we are getting closer and closer to our destination as the Holy Spirit guides us and leads us. Jesus calls the Holy Spirit here the Counselor. He's our advisor. He's our advocate. From the Greek, it sounds like this in English transliterated into, it sounds like paraclete, not parakeet, but paraclete, which really means somebody who walks by our side defending us and helping us in our times of need. One commentator wrote, the Holy Spirit maintains Christ's cause against the world's infidelity. In other words, as we live in a world that's unfaithful to the Lord, and he comforts believers who are often hated by the world. Just think how boldly those lowly disciples went out with the gospel. They had been huddled together, afraid of what was going to happen to them in rooms in Jerusalem. And then the Holy Spirit came in this special way, and they went out there and they talked to the crowd. They talked to everybody who was there, ready to listen to them. And then they would go out with that gospel to the ends of the civilized world, to the corners of the civilized earth at that time, and proclaim that word of God. And who was with them? Their advocate, their counselor, their comforter, their big brother, who would walk by their side and take care of them and encourage them and say, you can do this, and as you do this, I will bless your work. And people will believe in Jesus and be saved just like you are. It wasn't, however, just the early disciples who were accompanied by the Holy Spirit. So are you. He is by your side at all times. Could you do what the Apostle Paul did when he went on his 3 missionary journeys? Could you do what Martin Luther did as he stood so firmly on the foundation of the Word of God and reformed the church to bring it back to where it had been in the days of the apostles? The answer to that is no, and neither could I, and neither could Paul, and neither could Martin Luther had it not been for the Holy Spirit. But with the Holy Spirit, the answer is absolutely yes. And Christians today continue to take solid stands on the Word of God day in and day out because of the Holy Spirit's influence. Jesus told his disciples simply to testify. And he says the same thing to us, testify. To testify means to be a witness. If you're in a court of law, you go and you're a witness and you are to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Just tell it all. That's what he wants us to do. He doesn't expect us to bring people to faith. We can't. That's the Holy Spirit's work. He doesn't expect us to try to be referees and judges in people's personal squabbles. Not even Jesus did that. He said, that's not my job. He said, I want you to testify, tell the truth about who I am and what I've done, and then get out of the way and let the Holy Spirit do his thing. And to do that is our greatest calling and our greatest honor as Christians. So on Pentecost, we recognize that the Savior kept his promise to send the Holy Spirit, and he came in a very spectacular way. But on Pentecost, we also recognize that Jesus continues to send his Holy Spirit in sometimes inconspicuous ways. But once again, every bit as powerful as on that original day of Pentecost. And in order to do that, he wants us to do two things. First of all, use the Word of God and receive the Lord's Supper faithfully, because it's like lifting spiritual weights. It's like pumping iron. And secondly, he wants us to testify, to tell our neighbors, our friends, our co-workers, whoever it is that gives us the opportunity when the time is right, to tell them, because you can give your friends and family nothing more precious and nothing more important. And so we pray, come, Holy Ghost, Creator blessed, and make our hearts your place of rest. Come with your grace and heavenly aid, and fill the hearts that you have made. Amen.